Blog Talk Radio. Storybox Audio.
Good evening, and this is a Sunday show on Here Be Monsters Radio, a weekly review of progressive and leftist sort of thoughts on politics of the week. With us today is our good friend, Jack Jodell.
Jack,
welcome back.
Good to be back.
Ronald Feynman, author and historian Ronald Feynman, and our blogger friend Wayne Johnson, who's always here. So thank you, gentlemen, for being here. And I know, the big thing is the Rittenhouse case and the absolute abomination of injustice that occurred there. But, you know, the Republicans have been putting judges in office for how long now? And that is what come of that. And it was surprising to hear the response from Biden. That just, you know, default president. Anyways, you know my opinion. So go at it, guys. What are you thinking?
Well, I'm disgusted, totally disgusted with what happened. And the fact that Tucker Carlson is making a mint out of it, and so is also with the other people at Fox News, they have no decency, you know?
That's true. That's true.
You know, they're the only news, so-called news channel that is in operation since 1996.
Yes.
It's a horrible date that they even started up, because they've been presenting bias disguised as news all that time. And that's a long time to be lying brutally to the American public. And a lot of people accept it as truth. Unbelievable.
Yeah, unfortunately, my American presidency class, I'm going to be talking about Trump on Tuesday because I'm almost done with the course. And already a few students, I was still like thinking they were Trumpites, but I wasn't sure. But one of them sounded like he was Tucker Carlson, saying all the points that Tucker Carlson's making about Kamala Harris. And, you know, I have to say so, like, I can't really be critical. I have to be neutral. I don't want to get into controversy, particularly now with the state of Florida saying, you know, that they don't want people, you know, teaching their views. So I have to try to be very balanced. It's hard, but it's just unbelievable what, you know, what these people are saying, and they're being propagandized, their future theoretical Nazi fascist types, you know?
Following guys like Tucker Carlson, who's a complete clod. That guy has no credentials whatsoever. He's even practicing journalism because he's just telling lies. He's a propagandist, you know?
Yes, and so is Sean Hannity and Laura Ingraham. The evening shows are horrendous on there. The daytime, a couple of the shows in the middle of the day are barely normal, but they're not in the evening. Oh, my God.
Ron, you called them the oldest news station, but that's not true. I can remember
CNN is
1980,
yeah.
It being Ted Turner's big breakthrough.
In 1980, and MSNBC came out the same year as Fox, 1996, yes.
Yeah, with Keith Olbermann.
Yep.
I miss Keith Olbermann.
Yep. He doesn't say much lately. I don't haven't noticed much that he's saying. I'm not getting it, you know.
He's kind of in semi-retirement, I think.
He's doing sports.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's more back into sports. He's a sports person originally, I think, yeah.
Yeah, he's on sports. Well, guys, we do have a caller. I'm going to open the mic to see what they're going to say. yeah, caller, you're on air. Welcome. Go ahead and talk, or are you just here for the listen? I don't know. Well, basically CNN actually was responsible for the decline in field operatives in the CIA. Did you guys know that?
No, actually I didn't know.
Yeah, they got a lot of the intelligence work that they got done was being covered by reporters that Ted Turner farmed out all across the globe, and now it's the reverse because they've pulled back their reporters. They've sliced and diced the whole news crew.
Mm. Wow. That's something I didn't know. So see, we all learn from each other.
Even
my students teach me things, you know, like about solar panels. It came up about that Carter put solar panels on and Reagan took them off, and somebody said to me, aren't solar panels on again? And I said, yes, but which president? I wasn't sure. They checked, it was Bush 2 that put them back up, and Trump left them, and Obama kept it, and Trump left it alone, apparently, and they're on still now with Biden. So I said, well, I learn something new every day, even from you guys, I said.
Yeah, the city of Port St. Lucie is giving people the option to put solar paneling up for their own part of the grid here.
Yep.
I was surprised.
That's good.
Yeah, it is. It's good. So,
especially with that governor you got down there, Ron DeSantis, is not a good man.
Oh, he's horrible. The former governor, who's now Senator Scott, is horrendous, but I think DeSantis is worse than Scott was.
Yeah.
Everything gets worse.
Yeah, they just keep getting worse and worse and worse, and, you know, they get more extreme all the time.
Particularly people like Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, I have trouble not vomiting when I watch or hear them.
McConnell is strangely quiescent these days. He raises his head every once in a while, but I hope he's going to retire or get defeated or both.
He just got elected. He's around to 26 unless he dies. By the way, he is 9 months older than Joe Biden. He's going to be 80 in February. McConnell's going to be 80, February 1942, and Joe Biden is November 42. And, of course, yesterday was Joe Biden's 79th birthday, and as I wrote about it, Robert Kennedy would have been 96 yesterday. They have the same birthday, and Joe Biden has a bust of RFK. Every time you see him at his desk, on the right side of the picture, his left side is the bust of RFK.
He's not the kind of president that we need right now, in my opinion. He really isn't.
He reach out to Republicans, and we had to dent their teeth in, man. You got to get along with them some of the time, but you got to learn how to dominate them.
Well, the problem is Biden does not have the LBJ or FDR Congress. That's the problem. He's got just bare balances, even in the Senate, and of course Manchin and Sinema, oh my God, they're more like Republicans, you know.
But you take a look at what Nancy Pelosi kept going through the whole Trump administration and tell me that there is not a ramrod that this president could be using to push things through. I mean, you know, just that's why I don't watch the news.
Only
anymore.
If you could get a person like a Collins or a Murkowski to cross the aisle, and then he wouldn't need Sinema and Manchin. But maybe they'll do it on the voting rights. I don't know. I hope and pray, but we don't know
that. I doubt it. Susan Collins.
They're the only ones, those two women, and more Murkowski. The others, I think, are hopeless.
Murkowski has some merit. She has some integrity, but Susan Collins is a corrupt person. I mean,
she's weak.
Who?
Collins? Weak.
No, she's greedy. She's greedy. She's
yeah.
not weak.
But now that
she's
got
greedy.
Another term, she could, Collins, surprise us. You know, you never know. But
you never know. Let's hope for the best, though, you know.
If they both cross, then you could say screw you to Sinema and Manchin, and they would get things done. But you don't know that until the vote comes, you know.
One thing Republicans understand most is brute force. And if you don't bash them in the teeth once in a while, they're gonna run right over all the time.
Yeah. they kept Keynes out of the Congress this last 100 years. But here's the thing. I actually have a silent wager with somebody that Trump will not be running an elected president in the next run.
I don't think he's going to run. I'm more and more convinced.
I didn't think he would win.
You can't just talk. You have to campaign, especially in the future. He's not going to run. He's too lazy. And also, I pointed out in my article about Biden being 79 that by the next term, he would be 78 and a half older than Biden when he came in. And I'm just saying, he's really going to want to do that job in his late 70s when he's overweight and lazy as hell? No. He just wants attention and money.
He just wants money. He just wants money in the spotlight.
Yeah, but he has been sending out emails with videos in them to his supporters for money.
He's got money.
But
to pay
also,
all his expenses.
almost,
to keep all the campaign contributions.
Yeah, he's
also
promising to run. He is promising to run in these videos, you know.
He has to say it, and then he won't.
Right.
He's getting all the money. He's a money machine.
Yeah,
that's what it comes down to.
I do agree with you. I do agree with you, Ron. I think that's what's going on.
Wait till the last minute, like Mario Cuomo, and then say he's not going to run like he did in 1992 when he was talking about running and he had a deadline and he didn't do it. I'm not comparing. I mean, Mario Cuomo's a much better person. But, I mean, he was so disappointed. Everybody thought he was going to run. He played games, and then he decided not to, you know.
Not all Cuomos are made of the same cloth, apparently.
No,
either.
Of course. Oh, my God. His son is not him. No, no.
Neither
definitely not. Oh, my God. What a disaster. Arrogant SOB, you know.
Yeah, oh, my God.
He did
that was the Republican, I guess, jokingly, because I'd like to think most Democrats are more decent, but Andrew Cuomo, I always had doubts about over the years, even though he was better than a Republican for governor of New York. But something about him, he rubbed me wrong from years ago, you know?
Yeah.
I think I can pick out who you can really trust most of the time, you know? Maybe I'm wrong, but I think most of the time you get a sense of their character as you watch their body language and what they say and just the way they conduct themselves.
You know, I still wish Bernie Sanders would have become president rather than Joe Biden.
Yeah.
I don't think he could have been elected, though, honestly, unfortunately, in the actual election. But anyway, now he's going to be – he's ready. What is he? He's 81. He's not going to be able to run at 84. I don't even think Joe will run, honestly. I think he's not going to run. He'll announce early in 23, you know, after the midterms that he's not running. And then it's a Donnybrook. Everybody in the world will be running.
Oh, yeah. Well,
on both sides, I think folks are going to run. Probably 40 people running.
And she was the acting president for 85 minutes the other day.
Yes.
And the world didn't blow up, you know, and we need a woman president.
What's interesting, when Trump had a colonoscopy, he didn't make a public declaration because I think the new book by the guy from ABC was that he didn't want to, I think it's there or somewhere, he didn't want to do it because he didn't want Pence to be acting president for an hour and a half. Can you believe that?
Well, of course I can. He didn't want to share anything with anybody.
Oh, my God.
Well, he doesn't know how to share. You got to teach him how.
Yeah.
He's the most greedy, self-centered guy we've ever seen in that office. And we
Richard Nixon's a choir boy next to him.
That's true. Yeah.
He had some positives and he was horrible, but he had some real positives and smarter. I mean, there's no comparison. Nixon definitely is elevated a bit by
Nixon was a borderline intellectual, really. He knew his stuff. He had the weakness of a lack of good character. You know?
Well, he had a problem with self-image, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He also drank like a fish when he was under pressure, too. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But not as certified by alcoholic. Not enough to call him that, though. He always said only a certain conditions. Yeah.
Well, he held the bottle after the pressure got too high. But who could blame him? Boy, he was under a lot of pressure. The media hated his guts. He had all kinds of enemies, real and imagined, and,
good Lord, am I actually hearing defensive Nixon statements on this show? You guys.
You see that day, right? But in terms of after we had Bush, too, and Trump, and, you know, they keep getting worse and worse and worse.
I think they will. I think they're going to continue down that lane, but in my opinion, until the machinery in D.C. is smashed, we're still going to have one or the other, I mean, of a machine. One of the best leadership in D.C. right now is you, like AOC and a few of the women from the middle of the country. who are people of color.
Yeah, talk about that AOC. What about the thing what Paul Gosar did? You know,
oh,
and then
God.
Only Kinzinger and Cheney would denounce him and vote for the Democrats on the on that resolution.
And here, McCarthy says, "Oh, I'm going to have a spot ready for him when I'm Speaker of the House. I'm going to put him in a position of authority." Yeah, right. That's not going to get him elected. That's why I think he's not going to be successful. I hope he's not successful. His bid to become Speaker.
Well, the problem is he's horrible, but the rumor is that if the Republicans win control, Trump will not back him. He'll back Jim Jordan of Ohio.
Oh, God.
Where Wayne used to live, and that's even worse.
Oh.
He's yeah. Okay, that's a case. Coffee's terrible, but he's not as bad as Jordan.
He's a little wimp, and he's big wrestling coach. Oh, give me a break. You know,
yes.
I believe people from all walks of life should be elected to Congress. But wrestling coaches, I draw the line there. And he's proven it with his rhetoric is just terrible.
I think that McCarthy is going to have trouble, even if they are the majority, getting elected because he was knocked out when he competed against Ryan in 15, and I don't think he ever forgot it, so he's willing to kowtow to everybody, including Marjorie Taylor Greene or Lauren Boebert or Madison Cawthorn or Jim Jordan or Paul Gosar because he wants to get their votes. But I have a feeling some of them will abandon him, and he won't be the Speaker. It'll be somebody worse. Yeah.
What a list of dirtballs, huh? Who would have ever thought?
Yeah, that's correct.
It's getting worse and worse and worse. Oh, my God. It's a nightmare come true. But let's hope he is short-circuited and maybe, you know, Pelosi's not been perfect, but she's been a very, very effective Speaker of the House.
But theoretically, she's going to probably retire, the thought is. She's not talking about next term because she is in her 80s already, early 80s, and so are this number two and number three guys. So I think there might be an argument to have a new leadership of the Democrats younger because all three of them are over 80. So there's going to be a lot of change in the House no matter what happens.
Well, we'll see how it goes. Let's hope for the best, though.
The sooner the aged get out of D.C., the better. Not all of the youth in are under 40 in D.C. are great, but the most brilliant are. And I would give you AOC as number one example.
She's not going to become Speaker, though. There's no way she would ever be able to unite the Democrats.
No, she wouldn't.
Probably not. Probably not right now. But give her 10 years.
Yeah, well, 10 years. Anything can happen in 10 years, yeah.
We encourage her to stay in the House as long as she can because she is definitely the voice of working people. No doubt about it.
Yeah, and she's a pretty decent bartender.
Yeah.
I'm sorry? We have certain
Wayne,
buzzers. Wayne?
We're taking over.
His microphone's open, but he doesn't seem to be there.
Yeah, I'm right here. I had to stop for a moment to say something to my wife. But, I'm just listening to it. I mean, look, you two are running very well. And, you know, all I would do is be, you know, sitting here nodding my head. Me too. You're right, you know. I'm right here.
I thought you were taking a nap maybe, Wayne.
No, I did that earlier. I did that right before the show, so I'm good.
Come on.
You're over 65, you take a nap, right? So do I.
Oh, absolutely.
What is Mike Stimson? I thought he was going to be on maybe.
I beg your pardon. Mike? I don't know. I do have somebody that I told you was listening in. They've called in. I opened their mic. They didn't talk, so I muted them. There is a fuzz in the background, though, with our sound, gentlemen. Hello?
Yeah.
Yes.
We hear you.
Is there a buzz? You say I'm not hearing a buzz, but I'm good.
I'm not hearing a buzz either.
No, I'm not either.
Whenever it goes silent, it comes up in my earphone. So I'm I'm just.
May I ask you, what's the area code of the person, even though he or she's not speaking? You have an idea where the person's from?
No, you can't, because it's basically a internet call. It's 11111.
Oh, so it's no area code like telephone. Okay, because it's curious who it might be.
You know, generally speaking, the people we know call in with their own phones. So I'm thinking it's just somebody listening in. Like the last time we got one of these, it was Hong Kong. So, you know.
Oh, my gosh. Hong Kong before China took it over or what? Unfortunately. Oh, my God. The China story with Taiwan. I'm so worried about what's going to happen. Especially on CNN tonight about the leader of China.
Well, that's a good topic we can talk about. Let's move on to what we think China is going to do and why.
Oh, God. I think there's a danger of open conflict with China. Oh, my God. They have no limits.
Right.
And now he's been declared a leader like Mao Zedong and Deng Xiaoping, you know, like
right.
he's godlike.
Well, here, let me throw a scenario out there. I was speaking with someone from the Naval Academy here just the other day. Just as Argentina had their economic woes, I mean, their economy went into the toilet under the military junta, and that was a total autonomous control. I was down there at that time when the military junta was in charge, and they were very abusive to their the population.
Yes, I know.
Well, when their economy went into the crap hole to divert the misery and stuff of the everyday citizen, they rallied to patriotism and invaded the Falkland Islands because that belongs to us.
Falkland Islands,
Then the Brits had to come down and whip their ass and, you know, take it back. Now I'm going to go to the next step. Saddam Hussein had a long war with Iran and basically depleted that country's treasury, and they had no money. They were broke. So what did he do? To relieve the misery and to divert the attention and the misery of the everyday citizens in Iraq, he went into Kuwait.
In 1990, yes.
Piggy bank. They needed the money. Well, you can see in recent news here, China built on all that pyramid system of real estate, and we're pretending we're capitalism and stuff like that, and they're going bankrupt. I mean, that is caving in on the Chinese economy. Well, what's the thing next door? Taiwan. Watch them divert when the misery of the everyday citizen in China gets so bad, then that's when China. I'm just a speculation here. It's like a John Nash's game theorem. Okay, I don't have a true prediction here, but just as that happens, they will go into Taiwan and try to whip up patriotism behind the misery to divert the misery.
Now, in the old days, we used to in the days when it was called Formosa.
Yeah.
We used to stand firmly behind Formosa. Eisenhower did it, and Kennedy, and all those old presidents. And I don't know that Biden would commit our military to opposing such a move by China. I'm a little uneasy about that.
Well, the problem,
though, is that
if they were to suddenly invade, we couldn't even get started in dealing with it. So what could we really do, you know?
Well, that's a good point you brought up, and here's my perspective of that. We're already, you know, making a deal with nuclear submarines with Australia because they don't want to see China totally dominating that Southeast Asia Sea.
Japan.
Everybody needs it open for free trade shipping lanes.
And Japan feels the same way, yes.
Japan, the Philippines,
yes.
France, England sent in their latest and greatest aircraft carrier there, the Queen Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and along with India, who's already had border skirmishes with the
Chinese
army and stuff, right, and kicked China's ass on it, the PLA, People's Liberation Army, right. So it's not going to just be the United States standing up against Taiwan, or you know, standing up with Taiwan against China. I've just mentioned all the other countries that'll be chipping in.
But on the other hand, China has
Canada,
Pakistan
Canada.
And Russia behind it. on this.
Well, yeah, that sounds, you guys sound like a World War III to me.
Well, it's, there's
a potential,
Gotham. There is definitely a potential there. Either that or Putin says, you know what, I'm going to let those two just really go at it. And when it's all said and done and the nukes
clean up the mess.
Kind of dies down, I'm king of the world right now.
Yeah, clean up the
mess. It's very scary.
Putin is a KGB guy, and he will play the domino chess, the chess game. Let them destroy themselves, and I'll be the one that comes out as the winner.
Yep.
And Putin is a scheming jerk, and he's Trump's buddy, you know. And he uses Trump. Trump is too stupid to realize he was getting used by Putin, you know.
Putin owns Trump. When Trump had the largest bankruptcy losses of anybody,
yeah,
he's still getting tax breaks because of all his business losses of what three casinos there in New Jersey, Atlantic City, that just went tits up, right? He's basically bankrupt. He owes billions of dollars through Deutsche Bank.
Which is hotel town in D.C., yeah.
Right. Well, right, the other hotel in D.C., that was nothing more than, here, I'll tell you what, you need something? You come stay in my hotel at $1,000 per room, right?
Yeah.
And then just go ahead and rent out the whole floor, right? And then that goes into my pocket.
Yeah,
so
but
you know,
guys, I really think that what you're saying about Putin is wrong. I think that he began to grow weary and suspicious and even a bit afraid of how stupid the Republicans and Trump were and what they were up to. And I think he backed off. I think he completely pulled whatever support and just kept his own, you know.
I think in 2020, yeah. Not in 16.
When he got exposed and he was puppet master to that marionette Trump, then he kind of backed off because of the world attitude towards him.
Yeah, but now there's a Russian threat on Ukraine again, you know, because they're massing troops.
A bad
that's
one.
Another problem.
I was going to say, and Jack and Glenn, you'll remember you had me on the show as kind of a guest, and I made the projection back then, what was it now, 10 years ago, whatever it was, I said,
14 is when he invaded Ukraine, 7 years ago.
Yeah,
so
that. 14 years ago, Gwen and Jack had me on as a guest, and we were talking about the Ukraine, and I said, Putin will go into the Ukraine because the Black Sea ports there on the island, you know, on the peninsula, that is their only warm water port that they have access to. Putin cannot afford to lose that Navy base. And it wasn't 10 days later that Putin moved his troops in and took over that Navy base of that part of the Ukraine.
That's right.
For that reminder, Wayne.
I'm not a soothsayer. I don't have a crystal ball. But I use John Nash's game theorem, and you just look at the scenarios, you play them out the way it goes. And when I was in the Mediterranean, I knew because, you know, basically there was a destroyer from that Black Sea fleet of Russia, and it was messing with the Franklin Roosevelt aircraft carrier, just running behind it going, like, you know, with his, you know, thumb up to her nose and waving her hand. And basically we set them up. We went out ahead of the aircraft carrier, and when the aircraft carrier came up, she broke off. And all of a sudden now we popped up on that destroyer's radar, and it spooked her. She threw her surface-to-surface missiles on the rail. The directors, which is the radar, were locked onto our ship, and they circled us like the Indians around the wagon train. Well, us being good red and money American bloody sailors, we all went out and told them, hey, suck my hoo-hoo, right, kiss my hoo-hoo, and we bared everything, pointing to it. The Russian sailors were out there, and they weren't 50 yards away. They were when that ship went by us, they weren't 50 yards away. So I know they could pretty well see the little brown gassy hole on me.
Oh, my God.
And they were
well,
taking pictures.
That's SOP. That's SOP in those games out there on the Atlantic, especially.
Yeah.
And it's
like I said, there's a lot of ships goes out in the open waters a lot of people don't know about.
And up in the air, too, in the different quadrants of space around the planet. There's a lot
of
that going on. Yeah.
Well, I thought it was interesting this past week how many of Gozart's brothers and sisters came out strongly against him and urging him to get out of, to resign or get out of any connection with the House of Representatives. That was absolutely astounding. Usually you have
always
one
of his siblings turned against Gozart, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And they I saw some interviews on TV, and boy, they nailed him to the cross, and deservedly. And the guy, he's just an opportunist. He's a Trumpite in disguise, not even in disguise, but they nailed him to the cross, and I hope the voters will respond accordingly and find somebody better than him.
Not likely, unfortunately, I don't think. I hope so.
Paycheck.
Say what? You guys talked on each other.
Yeah, I didn't follow it either.
Yeah.
Threatening death over your colleagues.
Oh.
Jesus.
Yeah, that was unforgivable.
Yeah, I don't understand why these Republicans see a person like AOC to be such a threat. Just ignore her. Let her say her thing. But they have to go after her all the time.
Oh, yeah, are you crazy? I see exactly what they're threatened by.
Sure.
They're threatened by her abilities, her absolute leadership, her absolute style, and her intelligence and her ability to outmaneuver them on the floor at any given moment.
What they do is give her more, from their perspective, more legitimacy. You think they wouldn't want to.
Right.
That's the
thing. Republicans always need a boogeyman or a whipping boy to parade in front of the public.
She's the new Hillary Clinton. She's the new Hillary Clinton, the bastion pulling. Right. Look, AOC can eviscerate any one of those conservative, fundamentalist Republicans in Congress. And for those who don't know what the word eviscerate means, it removes your sphincter muscle right out of your little bunghole.
Oh, my goodness. Wayne. Okay. Actually, evisceration is to cut the front of the bowels open, but okay.
Well, in the chicken industry, they have what they call the eviscerator, and it's this little circular kind of outer perimeter drill bit that as the chicken is going down the processing line, it comes out and goes right and then drags, cuts the circle around and drags the intestines out through the back end. It's called the eviscerator. This program is educational too, folks.
Oh, my God. Yeah, are we going to discuss keel hauling next?
Yeah, well, we could.
One of my favorites. Oh, God.
I dearly love you guys, right?
Said,
this is great.
Said Barnacle
Bill McNaylor. This is radio at its best.
Oh, God. I mean, come on. Said Barnacle Bill the Sailor. Hang on, we have a caller.
Okay.
917 area code, go ahead.
I thought you were summoning me by my nickname, the eviscerator. You said the eviscerator. I was listening to the show, and I thought, I kept waiting for the call for you to make the call to me, and then I realized that the switchboard operator, I got through, and the operator said, oh, mummy, thank God you're calling. They're talking about the eviscerator, and I think they want you to ring in. Okay, and your description of what an eviscerator does is exactly what I do on this show.
Right.
You know, and I'm going to answer that question about IOC or whatever her initials
AOC,
are.
AOC.
Yeah, AOC. The bottom line is this. The Civil War in 1861 was fought over economics and rural versus urban and North versus South and slaveholders versus abolition and all of that. But it was basically between white people. It was a civil war that chewed this country. The country was only 85 years old or whatever. And it was between white people, and black people only entered as half of us were appalled that we were treating black people terribly. And so we were sort of the chaperones for them, and we were championing them on the bullies on the playground of life. This civil war that's coming, the reason she's so electrifying is because Gwendolyn's totally right. She's a woman. She is a brown woman. She is a woman wearing a headdress. She is exotic. She is intelligent. She is outspoken. She is, in fact, what people in the 1400s thought was a witch. She is a sorceress. Yeah. She is seductive. Her brains are compelling. She can stir up people of her own kind. Now people don't need us. Black people don't need white people to fight a civil war for. There's enough of them now, and brown people and red people and yellow people. There's all these different people that will now be in the front lines and should have been in the front lines on January 6th. I wish it had been the powder keg. It's only a shame that the other side wasn't there to simply decimate those hooligans, those bums, those
they
thugs.
They were treasonous, violent overthrowers. Go ahead.
She is a living embodiment of the 21st century. She is the tipping point of the scale. The population of the United States is dwindling. The white population is dwindling in comparing to all the other minorities. So when a civil war happens, this will be, as Ron said, Ron was the predictor. He was the Sibyl, if you will. He was the Oracle of Delphi about other things. And I'm going to be the Oracle of Delphi and say there will be a tremendous cataclysm. I absolutely am convinced. And it will be with all sorts of other people of other colors in the front lines at Gettysburg and at Chattanooga and Butt Poke, Idaho and Nose Pick, Nevada. And all of there will be people of all different colors. There will be gays and lesbians who will throw themselves on the barbed wire. And there will be black people who will join hands with Chinese people and they will race ahead into the gunfire. That's going to be what, and she is typical of what we are going to have. It's not going to be between Southern gentlemen and Northern gentlemen in 1861, many of whom are having Thanksgiving dinner at the same table before they go off to opposite sides of war. It's going to be a totally different thing. And if we can't indict someone like Vile Rottenhouse, that 17-year-old shithole, if we can't indict him and he's become the champion of the Republican Party, how could we possibly, this is going to come to a very, very bad end and a very big confrontation. Huge.
I hope wrong. I have to say that. I hope you're wrong.
Of course. And people said that to each other on their radio shows in 1861. Pals like you and me got together in 1861 on their radio shows. And, the only thing they were missing was a Colgate Palmolive sponsor. But Gwendolyn is, too. Gwendolyn's got her own sponsorship. She is the Colgate Palmolive of this show. But, when they were broadcasting their show in March of 1860, and everyone was pissing and saying, oh, this is just so terrible. And, of course, radio back then was two Chase and Sanborn cans connected by string.
Say, Gwendolyn looks great,
who's like one listener and one broadcaster. But when they were doing that, they were saying, oh, I hope it doesn't turn into that because I like to be polite and I'm a Presbyterian from Connecticut and I'm a nice person from Alabama who believes in this. And then 2 weeks later, it was all over, hundreds of thousands dead.
This time, like last time, please keep in mind, Mommy, the French were shining up their blades on the guillotine, and it's in Europe too. I mean, not every country, but look at the mess that France and UK are in, and Ireland is having
and look at
troubles.
Hungary is completely drifting to the right, and Poland. Terrible thing, everybody, is this. There's two terrible things. One is that Mother Nature is sort of getting to the point where she's going to wash her hands. She's going to say, you know what, it's a shame they're going to take 90% right. of the species with them. But that's what a comet did, you know, 40 billion years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So the human race is the comet now. So they're going to take all these innocent plants and animals with them, which is what I really get upset about personally.
Right.
And the other thing is that we have nuclear weapons. So a civil war now, the worst that they could come up with during the Civil War, the French Revolution, was, you know, firing guns
cannons.
That they had to re-tamp, you know, and cannons, but they had to re-tamp them. You shot a cannonball, then you had to let it cool down a little bit, then you had to put everything back in and tamp it with paper and powder, and oh my God, 20 minutes later, you fired the cannon again. Now you have lunatics who can press a button. We have 11-year-olds who hacked my Facebook account and my PayPal account this week. You've got some 11-year-old in Toledo, Ohio, who could whimsically set off, you know, a nuclear war because it's a cool thing to do, dude. You know, we are totally at the mercy of our technology, and anyone can do it, whether it's a domestic 11-year-old from Toledo or it's some Afghanistani kid who's watched Andy Cohen and the Real Housewives of Orange County and decided that the Americans deserve to die because that's what a being American is, to be one of those whores, you know, who's shopping at, you know, Hermes, you know.
That's
so
cool.
It's like
– I just saw the movie Belfast, which was in like the mid-60s, where the Protestants and the Catholic – and the same, like just the next street over from each other, where having gangs coming down and raiding and, you know, firebombing some of the house because he was a Catholic or he was a Protestant. That's what this next civil war is going to be about. It's going to be this street or this little neighborhood. It's going to be against this little neighborhood. And these, they're going to explode and self-annihilate each other simply because you voted for AOC or something like that. Or vice versa.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen it, but on
free, and people should respect what other people's opinion is, even if they disagree. But there's no propensity for agreement anymore. People are at each other's throat all the time for the little
Civility's gone out the door. Civility's gone.
Oh, absolutely.
Decency is at rest in the moment.
Right.
I agree about that. Of course, I'm just going to go swipe a Boston Whaler and throw a bunch of oils into it and get on over to Bimini Boys. Anglers Club, bar rail. Yeah. I'm good.
Come up to Annapolis and pick us up, okay? We'll go off with you.
I can make it. I can make it by Intercoastal.
There you go. Exactly. Intercoastal. Yes, absolutely. I know this love. I know this.
I'll send up
a rear flare where you get close, okay?
I am not opting out of my citizenship, but I will say this. Some very smart and feeling people are seriously leaving this country. People who we need, you know, people whose voices have meant something, even their vote and the resonance of their energy to be here with us. People are leaving. And like I said, guys, for the last 6 months, you know, my job is revolution enough for me, but I do vote and I come together with y'all every Sunday evening.
Right.
But here's the thing. What Sybil is saying is very, very on the horizon. It could be on the horizon.
We
and
are
it's
teetering.
Not just
we
here.
Are teetering on a knife edge. Yes, we are teetering on a knife edge, and I agree with Sybil.
Sybil's
already right.
It's not just here.
It's not. I think it's so funny that being someone who wanted to be an artist and certainly has had no success at it, but it's interesting how artists predict things before they happen. They are able to see things before they happen. There's so many situations about this. But one of the most interesting things about the last 5 years, starting with Trump's presidency, really, I was reminded on MeTV of the Twilight Zone reruns. And there was a famous episode, which I remember watching when it first happened, when it first aired.
Oh, my.
This is in 1960 when Dwight Eisenhower was still president, and it was called The Monsters Are Due on Maple Street.
Yes,
and
I
it was in black and white. And it was, when it aired, it was in the headlines the next day because people were outraged, absolutely outraged by it. And the premise was very quick, very simple. It was a beautiful little neighborhood, suburbia, typical American suburban neighborhood with people mowing their lawns and people playing fetch with their dogs in the street and just every children and neighbors waving hi, you know, to each other as they took off for the grocery store. And very briefly, at that evening, there was a blackout, I'm going to just sort of skip ahead because someone out there who knows the episode backwards and forwards will say Sybil didn't tell it correctly. But the premise was that houses would lose their electricity, but other houses would be lit, or something would happen. Things began to be all deranged, and so a house would have all its lights on, but other people wouldn't have any power, and then that would switch to someone else, and people began getting paranoid. And they were in the street, and it was a summer night, and they began to get hostile to each other and accusing each other of things. And it was all just over nonsense. It was just all over little nonsense.
Well,
and
McCarthy
it began to get
– at the day.
Well, what was interesting was two commercial breaks later, the entire town is in flames. And people are shooting each other and in the streets and riots and people are running from this house to that house. And people are literally in one person's house and then the lights go on somewhere. And they go over there and it's like, no, it's the Fergusons. No, it's the Baileys. No, it's da-da-da-da. And they're finally, it's just pandemonium. It's Armageddon. And the camera pans up and back. And you're suddenly on a hillside overlooking the town as it's in flames. And two aliens from outer space are standing there and glibly say, it's the same everywhere. You know, we go, we stir up a little trouble, and they take care of it all for us. They take care of it all for us. And the premise being that we turn on ourselves and we create enemies. You know, Hitler makes enemies of Jews and gays and, you know, paraplegics. And Trump made enemies of everybody, you know. A crippled, a handicapped reporter becomes an object of derision in front of thousands of people at an open rally. And the people at the rally are given permission to laugh and point and mock. This is
the Twilight Zone is us these days. It's weird.
Yeah, it is.
And I live in a neighborhood full of Indians, Pakistanis, Afghanis, Koreans, Chinese, Japanese, brown, yellow, you know, all sorts of different people. We are Donald Trump's worst nightmare. And we are neighbors who enjoy each other. I'm looking out at the flashing lights of the houses across the courtyard from me, and they all are Diwali lights, and they're up for the whole time. And their attitude is, don't you people have Christmas coming? We should leave our lights for you because they are cheerful and nice. We have our holiday, and now you are holiday, and when do you put out your holiday lights? It's like, great, great. Everyone is okay. We're just okay. And that's why. But this is what scares me, you three. This is what scares me.
Four.
And somebody said it this week. Eugene Robinson said it. The Democrats are still so determined to be so polite. We don't want to say bad words. We don't want to stand up in Congress and tell someone that they're full of shit and that they should have died on January 6th when they were huddling in the basement with everyone else and not wearing a mask. What should have happened was Marjorie Taylor Greene should have been picked up by the Democrats and hurled over a balcony for the mob to tear apart, not realizing they're tearing apart one of their own idiots, because that crowd didn't know what they were going for. They didn't know but if only they had torn to pieces Bitch McConnell or Flimsy Graham Cracker or, you know, why didn't they get one of them? And we are still on the left very busy trying to be collegial, and we're still bickering when in fact Joe Manchin should be set on fire. He should be loaded with a pitchfork into a bonfire and set on fire. He is a nightmare. So
yeah,
we were
coming up with a Paul Gosar style anime of that.
Yeah, the anime.
But I'm going to let you guys finish the show. I horned in on you. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the kitchen and polish my Sterling tea set and make sure that everything is nice with the little biscuits on the plate. Because, you know, everyone says, oh, Sybil, when you say you want to be Madame Defarge and you want to do needlepoint with people's names in the needlepoint pillows you're doing, it's like you're just, you know, you're a silly woman. And what I really would like to do is smelt my tea set down into silver bullets and shoot a lot of them, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, when are we going to have vigilantes on the left? You know, it's like everyone was like, well, he was protecting property and everything, blah, 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 blah. You know something I do have to say? This is one thing that I do agree with. When our Black Lives Matter protests and our protests turn into shopping sprees, The few people that do that, the few people that got an Xbox or a full-screen TV, discredit the dead and dying. They discredit the family of the deceased. They have contaminated in one fell swoop. One of them contaminates a cause that 1,000 people are doing virtuously.
Very
sad. 1,000 virtuous marchers are instantly contaminated by one person. One person. We're certainly quick to condemn every police station in the United States because one lunatic policeman kneels on the neck of a black man. So suddenly every police station is contaminated, and we should defund the police. Defund the domestic army that protects us from crime. You know?
Yeah, it's crazy. Yep.
We disarm the people that we actually have as an army. They are an army that we have trained to protect us in a disaster. And now we're going to take them away because we have a couple of psychos and a couple of psychos in the Black Lives Matter thing. And, of course, we all know that some of those people are, you know, put up by Donald Trump and the right. Some of those people are plants that are going in and throwing a brick through a window and getting a TV set or whatever, and they create that hysteria.
Contra-pro. There's always that. The other part
about it is false flagging. It's the false flag thing.
I'll see you next week or a couple weeks from now. So
have a good Thanksgiving.
It was great to have you back.
Have a great Thanksgiving.
I want to be back more and more. As I can do it. All right, thanks, guys. God bless everyone.
Stay healthy and have a good Thanksgiving. God bless. Happy Thanksgiving.
Absolutely. Take care. Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Good night.
It was good to have Jack back.
Yes, absolutely.
I wasn't sure if there was another caller. I wasn't sure.
Jack hasn't been on because he's been indisposed and convalescing for about a year, right, Wayne?
Yeah.
I hope I didn't offend him by what I was saying.
Yeah, he's not yet.
It's more than a year, actually. I think it's more than
Sybil.
A year.
Yeah.
I didn't offend
Sybil.
Him.
Oh,
Gwendolyn,
no.
Did I offend him by saying that?
Oh, no, Sybil. He's been known to shuck the shotgun and fire on air several times. Basically, having Jack back is just wonderful. It's a great right. He called me on the day of the eclipse. I had not heard from him in months and months.
How long have you been on the air with this show?
Jesus.
I know it's been over 14 years.
It can't be that long. I know.
You had me on when I predicted that Putin was going to take over in the Ukraine on the peninsula
That's 14. Yeah, the year 14. Yeah, I got
to be on
in 15. Yeah.
We're getting a phone call right now on the switchboard from Chuck Todd, who's furious that you may have been on longer than Meet the Press. Hold on just a second. Mr. Todd, would you like to be passed through? No, we can't have that kind of language on the air. I'm sorry. Chuck Todd says, go screw yourself. He's furious. He says Meet the Press is opens every week with the longest running television show in the history of mankind.
1947, and yep.
He was furious that you are claiming that you have been on longer than him.
What a blow.
Oh, according to you, she was on in 1860, right?
Yeah, exactly.
We'll stick with that.
She looks awfully good.
It was part of the Corn Pone Network back then. It was.
Hey, in the last 3 months, I've gotten my cougar status going. So, you guys are so funny. That was a great metaphor, Sybil. That Twilight Zone episode was a metaphor.
Well, let's be honest. I mean, every week those shows had amazing messages. Rod Sterling and his gang were obsessed with the fact that the stories had to be filled with meaning and with, you know, bigger meaning than, and Isaac Asimov. I mean, Ray Bradbury, they all talked about the fact that science fiction was about deep, expansive issues. It was not just about cyclopses with three tentacles or something. It was something. It was stories that were filled with metaphors.
Gene Roddenberry.
In the medieval times, called the
was Star Trek.
They were morality plays, is what they were. And the thing is, he got a lot of shit from the sponsors because he was pointing out, like you said, hey, all you did is just turn off electric. This house here, and they will implode upon each other. Well, you know, Colgate knows, you know, and Lorax and Procter & Gamble, right, were livid that he was pointing that kind of stuff out. And
Basically,
they shut him down, and then that's when he came out with that little pablum show called The Gallery or something like that, where they paint.
Night Gallery.
Right. Thank you, Glenn. Right.
Night Gallery was filled with stories that were heavy. Richard Kiley played a Nazi war criminal who kept waking up. Those shows were just as provocative.
Yes.
They didn't tame him at all. That poor thing, he was smoking himself to death. If he hadn't been a smoker, he would have lived to be 90. I mean, he basically killed himself. But he was definitely filled with all sorts of.
He taught creative writing at Ithaca College while I was going to school at Cornell. And we got into his classes, and you're right. He would teach with a cigarette. It was kind of his support mechanism. His prop was that cigarette. It really was. And I'll never forget. He wore rolled cuffed jeans with work boots and flannel shirts with turtlenecks under them a lot.
Yeah, like the old ones.
But he was, and his classes were extraordinarily filled, but he gave time to everybody.
Cool.
That
has been a real treat. I mean, that's just one of the things that's fantastic, Gwen. And I'm glad you had the chance to experience that.
You just sat and listened, basically. You just
absorb it.
Yeah, I looked up Rod Sterling said to smoke 3 to 4 packs of cigarettes a day.
Yeah.
And he died of a heart attack on May 3rd, 19... Well, he had a heart attack on May 3, 1975. So he was only, 51, I guess he was.
I want to drop
one more piece of trivia, which is amazing.
50, actually. Yeah.
You think of him of the Twilight Zone and of Night Gallery, but what people don't realize is that he wrote Requiem for a Heavyweight.
He wrote seven
7 Days in May. One of the greatest movies of all time about politics. And he wrote Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, so I want to point out we're down to only about a minute. Just wanted to point that out. We're going to be knocked off in a minute.
Oh,
please, everybody, remember to join us tomorrow evening for Come Now, Don't Sulk with Sybil Brenton. And join us, if you will. That includes you, Ron.
I have time, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to, but, you know.
Okay,
I was,
Ron, then we'll call you. Then we'll call you, and we will bust in. We have terrorist activity. Don't think we're polite on my show. We may be left-wing and polite, but we're not polite on my show. We'll call you.
Right. I'll bring up eviscerating again tomorrow, too, okay?
Okay.
Thank you for letting me join you guys.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
And you too.
Happy Hanukkah, too. We're not going to be on next Sunday.
That's
because
right.
of Thanksgiving weekend and Hanukkah.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, gentlemen, so much for
yes.
joining me once again. Thank you, Sybil, for calling in. So appreciate that, too. And it was so good to have Jack back. Just
yes,
wonderful.
It was.
So we are done. Thank you, people, for listening. And please note, after Thanksgiving, we will be back at 6 o'clock with the Sunday show, The Week in Review. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, gentlemen and ladies.